Dr. Pam Peek, New York Times best-selling author and founder of the Peek Performance Center, and Michelle King Robeson, leading women's advocate, entrepreneur, and founder of EmpowHer.com, host the show everyone's talking about. It's time for Her Radio.
Well, it's been all over the news. You know, I called you up immediately, Michelle. I was like, I do understand. Women are more vulnerable to Alzheimer's, for crying out loud.
I know. Who would have thought? Who would have thought?
No, they think it's men, you know.
Right.
And
but
the statistics are pretty clear. But, oh, my gosh. Well, I know that our listeners here on Her Radio have lots of questions in their mind about their own minds, crying out loud. You know, are we more vulnerable? Are we not? What's going on here? We have Dr. Heather Snyder, the Director of Medical and Scientific Operations for the Alzheimer's Association. Dr. Snyder, welcome to Her Radio. And we're just going to start right here with Alzheimer's disease. We already know is a U.S. health crisis and affects more than 5 million Americans. But what's going on with women? These new figures are now showing that women are bearing the brunt of the damage. What's that about?
So we've always known that women are the epicenter of Alzheimer's disease, both in making up the majority of people that are living with the disease, but also making up the majority of people that are providing care for those that are living with the disease. The new report, the Alzheimer's Association Facts and Figures that just came out, actually looks at lifetime risk, for instance, and we show that women are 1 in 6 times, their lifetime risk is 1 in 6 versus a man's lifetime risk of about 1 in 11. And this is over the age of 65 of developing Alzheimer's disease. And, you know, we don't completely understand the reasons. We don't completely understand the why women are at an increased risk. But one of the big ideas is we know women live longer, and age is the greatest risk factor of Alzheimer's disease.
Oh, my God. I mean, you know, when you think about this.
Yeah, but do you think hormones are involved because we're living longer and our hormones are declining? Does that have anything to do with this?
There's certainly research looking into how hormones might be involved or if they're playing a role in an individual's risk associated with Alzheimer's disease. At this point in time, we don't have that information, and there is not evidence that supports the idea that might be playing a role. But there's just so much that we don't understand about Alzheimer's disease generally. And particularly when we look at the individuals and populations that might be at an increased risk, like women. I mean, one of the things we do know is women live long enough. And we also know when we think about the other side of it with the care, that women are providing the majority of care. You know, we think about it as that's not a huge surprise when, you know, women are often the ones that juggle the family schedule throughout time, juggle the, at least I can speak for my own self, I juggle the schedule in terms of what we're having for dinner, my travel schedule, my husband's travel schedule, and daycare and various other things for our children and making those balances. And so it makes sense that when you go into caring for a parent or a spouse, that women are also the primary caregivers.
Well, that also brings us up to another issue. And, you know, the current research shows that if you're more physically active, if you're also challenging yourself cognitively, that these will also help prevent the onset of a dementia like Alzheimer's. But there's something else. You kept saying the caregiving. More than 60% of caregivers for Alzheimer's and dementia are women. A lot of women don't realize that. But that number is right out there. So I go to the question of stress. You know, women take it on themselves to caregive everyone. It's highly stressful. They oftentimes abandon themselves and then are the least likely to do physical activity and really attend to themselves. So do you see that as a domino effect?
There's certainly a research in that and looking at that and trying to understand how stress might be playing a role. You know, our understanding about the dynamics that women are not only the majority of two-thirds of individuals living with Alzheimer's disease are women, but also the 60% are caregivers, I think that's somewhat of a new revelation to us. So understanding why women are the predominant individuals that are living with Alzheimer's disease, understanding why women are the predominant or the kinds of stress that might happen that may increase their risk, that's certainly a good question. And to your point of looking at the research around physical activity, there's a lot of hints in the literature that it's beneficial or it may potentially reduce your risk. And that's, you know, when you're trying to balance many different things in your life, something sometimes has to give, and physical activity might be what you're not able to fit into your schedule.
Well, one of the things we saw, Michelle and I saw on national news recently, was this new phenomenon of type 3 diabetes. That's also been proposed as a potential title, as it were, a renaming of Alzheimer's disease, because you see this very distinct resistance to insulin in the brain. Could you help us go through that?
Yeah, I think, and that's something that's come out of a very small population of researchers that have proposed this idea. And I think it's really important to listeners to know that Alzheimer's disease is not diabetes. And diabetes is not Alzheimer's disease, so they are two very different diseases. And what we do know, though, that individuals with diabetes are at an increased risk for developing Alzheimer's disease. And in Alzheimer's disease, we do see changes in how insulin is processed, for instance, in the brain of individuals. But having diabetes does not mean you will develop Alzheimer's disease, and having Alzheimer's disease does not mean you have diabetes. And so it's, you know, in terms of the terminology and what people think about it, you know, we definitely try to keep them distinct in our understanding. There's a lot of research looking at trying to understand how insulin, how diabetes may be actually linked to increasing risk of Alzheimer's disease, or even linked to possibly the biology, the underlying biology that may lead to Alzheimer's disease. But there are so many questions that we don't understand around what those linkages might be. At the Alzheimer's Association's International Conference last year, for instance, we saw a study that came out looking in 45,000 people, so a large number of people, wow. And it looked at individuals that had type 2 diabetes, so that's the diabetes that generally people are diagnosed later in life, so type 2 diabetes, and looked at the type of treatment that they had, so what type of medication they took for treatment of their type 2 diabetes, and whether that changed their risk of developing Alzheimer's disease. And in fact, based on this one study, which, you know, there's always, that always needs to be verified and validated in larger populations, there did seem to be a difference depending on the type of treatment or the medication that someone might take for treatment of their type 2 diabetes and controlling it in leading to changing risk associated with developing Alzheimer's disease. And there are actually several insulin and diabetes-related medications that are in clinical trials today.
So are there studies going on right now for women? Are there studies that are currently going on for women and Alzheimer's?
There are a number of studies that are going on looking at women and looking at the risk that might be associated with women, but also looking in potentially understanding what those changes might be. More information about different clinical trials or about different clinical studies that might be happening in your community can be found through Alzheimer's Association Trial Match, which is on our website at ALZ.org. We also have recently launched, just with this understanding that women are at the epicenter of this global health crisis, Alzheimer's disease, the Alzheimer's Association realizes that this is an impact on women that we need to embrace, and that women have changed the course of other diseases, and we've changed the course by working together, we've really been able to make significant impacts historically. And so the Alzheimer's Association has launched a women's initiative with the goal of leveraging and bringing together women from around the world to change the course of Alzheimer's disease. We've done it before, and we need to do it now for Alzheimer's disease. So we actually
I think your point is extremely well taken, especially since women are twice as likely to develop Alzheimer's than mm-hmm. breast cancer. Dr. Snyder, we are so happy that you came to Her Radio to help us understand why women are more vulnerable to Alzheimer's disease. Please, everyone, go to ALZ.org to learn more. Dr. Snyder, thank you. I'm Dr. Pam Peake, along with Michelle King-Robeson.
You're listening to Her Radio on Radio MD. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter. Stay well.